the good liars.
The good liars?
This is boring.
Boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, yeah. I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the good liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us.
Welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeBrom Stiefler, and we are the Good Liars.
And we may be the Good Liars, but on this show, we are going to tell you the truth. And the truth is, we are joined here in the studio by Todd Stiefel and Paul Soder from Evil Pack. Evil back.
Can you put an echoey effect on that in post? Can you make it sound eviler?
A lot of times I do the effects during the podcast. Yeah.
Saves time and money. Back. Who you guys just opened up a Judges for Sale store in New York City called Coke and Crow. And in the interest of full disclosure, we should say we were there. We were helping out there. And we've worked with you all, not only on this one, but we worked before the election. We did some work with you all with Americans for Prosperity down in North Carolina. There was a video with Michelle Morrow, who is running for superintendent. We'll get into that later. But we've known you guys for quite a while now. I feel like we have a relationship.
Partnership?
A partnership. Whoa. Okay, I would have gone friendship first.
All the ships.
Partnership, it's business first.
I was going chronologically.
Okay,
partners, right. I feel like, you know, as of last night, I was like, these guys
are all right.
We were hugging last night, you know.
We were hugs, I guess.
We were past partners. We fled the Confederacy together at one point.
Fled the Confederacy? I thought you said led the Confederacy.
No.
This is taking a turn.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
Evil pack. I get it.
So part of
the state fair when we had to run away from, we had to bail out because the Confederates were pissed.
Right.
That literally happened.
Jason was talking about working together before the election, and we were at the state fair, and the three of us were at a booth with the three saddest Confederates, I think, that have ever existed. And they, at some point, you were interviewing them, and we were standing nearby. And I got grabbed, and a guy was like, we have a lot riding on this, so don't fuck this up for us. And we could never quite figure out what he meant by that.
So, first question that I'm sure a lot of listeners are wondering now. Evil Pack, and this is like Pack, P-A-C, political pack. What is Evil Pack? Paul.
All right. Evil Pack it's kind of two things. It is a website, a comedic website about political corruption, money, and politics. That's the name of the site, but it's also the entity, the fictional entity behind the site, which is a cabal of elite billionaires who want to celebrate how much they have rat fucked.
Todd, these characters that you all have created, they're all part of the Tentacles of Penetration. What are the Tentacles of Penetration? It's a very funny thing to say out loud. And then also, are these based on real things that are happening now in the current political landscape and in the judiciary, which we'll get to in a second?
The Eight Tentacles of Penetration are a satire of Seven Mountains Dominionism, which is like the seven domains that they want to control in American society. And
is that a real thing?
It is a real
thing. Christian nationalism.
Oh, Christian. Okay. Eight Tentacles of Penetration, which still makes me laugh when I say it. That's based on the Christian nationalism. What was the inspiration for creating an evil pack? And what are the goals for the future? And we'll talk about the shop in a second. But what are the goals for the future, and why create a pack that is explicitly evil, comes out and says it?
So the genesis of that is really, I've been in the activism world for like 15 years or so, and it's great, but it's often kind of dark, to be honest, and you're often fighting uphill and stereotypes and problems and the like. And that's part of the reason I burned out and started moving into like the entertainment world for a long time. And that was great, but it was really, I started really feeling the itch to do the advocacy work again. And this seemed like a really a fun way to combine advocacy with entertainment in one package by creating essentially a comedy nonprofit that could help educate people on things like corruption and the problems.
So it is comedy. You don't want to destroy the country. You're not going
to. Well, with laughter. Destroy the country with laughter.
Yeah, exactly.
Have it just come to pieces.
Evil Pack doesn't want to destroy the country. It wants to milk the country for everything it's worth.
I mean, isn't that what's happening now with Elon Musk and Donald Trump? Like destroying the country? We're laughing about it, but it's sad and tragic.
You're right, but it's absurd. I think that's what we've realized is the big challenge is, you know, what you typically would do with satire is like, okay, take the gross, weird story and do this comic exaggeration. And they leave us very little room to work with when it's already so ridiculous and absurd and cartoonish, you know.
That's the problem with comedy right now. Like every single late night show, you're like, they're just like, oh, let's just show what Trump said. And then maybe we'll have a joke that's basically saying the exact same thing that he said. It's kind of sad, though, because you actually have this now. You have an evil pack with Elon Musk who has spent all his America pack. It's basically fucking evil pack. Like he's going out the same goals almost. Right. Yeah. And then he's gone out there and tried to buy votes, giving people millions of dollars. And now he's in a fight with Trump. It's kind of sad.
And in terms working. Like when you say like why evil, that I think it is because like Musk is this silly Bond villain character, and yet audiences love that. And again, same with Trump, like this Joker-esque clown, Batman bad guy, and people love that. So I think it felt like, hey, look, we could try to be funny from the point of view of the little guy who hates the elites, but we were like, maybe it's just funnier to do it from the point of view of the elites who are just celebrating how wonderfully awful we are.
You set up a store called Coke and Crow, and in it there were judges that were available for purchase, and every hour there were auctions for billionaires to buy judges. Mm-hmm. Talk us through the store.
So here's what I just realized is, everybody here had some contribution to that event going together. So when I first started working with Todd and he gave me an example of the kinds of comedy he wanted to do, he had already done this mock-up that Coke and Crow have a storefront and there were Supreme Justices in the window and it said Justices for Sale. And I said, that's awesome. That's hilarious. I'll write the article. So then I wrote a satire article about how Harlan Crow and Charles Koch decided it's too annoying to purchase judges online or in back alley deals. You need a comfortable, well lit boutique retail atmosphere to be able to really
know how to use computers as well.
And how do you do returns and stuff like that? So then I turned that into an article, and that was kind of one of our lead pieces of content for the site. We started working with you guys, and I don't know which one of you it was, or both of you said, hey, you should kick off the site.
Who's DeBrom?
Cool.
Okay, so three of us really contributed to what happened last night.
What were you doing this whole time, man? You were just driving there?
I was just hanging, I wasn't driving.
Cool. You just keep riding our coattails.
Thinking about life.
But it was cool because we got to be there the day before and see the setup. It was an impressive feat. What was the planning process like? There were images, there was merch, there was a catwalk, there were curtains, there was
It started with that idea of like, okay, well, we can take the concept of this article and bring it to life. We can get a boutique and we can set it up so that judges are on display, people are auctioning them off, you have billionaires there shopping. But then I think that we kind of got to that, and then we were like, okay, but you can look in the door and see that. Is that particularly like exciting? Okay, I get the joke. And then we tried to think about, okay, well, what else can we do that highlights the kind of stuff that's on the site? So we started building out murals about the Supreme Court being for sale and fake vacation packages. And again, that kind of built on top of it. And then based on our relationship with you guys, we were like, let's have the Good Liars come because they'll just add that other carnival-like layer of doing bits and shooting content. And
we're carnies. We're known.
You really?
Yeah.
It's like cabbage.
Carnies meets pro wrestlers. But became the third element of it is to have you guys there making funny stuff.
So you can buy a judge in the store. Now, what are the examples in real life, IRL, of this happening? The Supreme Court justices have been bought. What are the examples of that? And what was the actual result of this lobbying or whatever happened? Explain that to the listeners.
So, like, the Coke and Crush store was a launch event, and it was performance art, but it was also an educational protest. And so, like, the various murals that Bruce created for us up there all were designed to kind of parody a luxury store that a billionaire would walk in to buy clothing, but we had real facts on them. So, like, Samuel Alito has been to Italy 7 times, basically 7 vacations to Italy to go speak. And, like, sure, he gave a speech for an hour, but he and his family get to go, all expenses paid, to Rome and hang out. And it's like 7 times.
Yeah. And who paid for that? Like, what was their interest in it? Like, what's the corruption in that, I guess?
It's buying influence. It's buying influence. It's buying access. And, you know, it's not just there. It gets more egregious to, like, you know, Clarence Thomas went to Indonesia, took a private jet to Indonesia, private yacht around Indonesia, and he's hanging out with Harlan Crowe for days, and they get to talk and buddy up, and Harlan gets to nudge him on the issues he finds of importance. It's an access that the billionaire class has and can pay for that the rest of us can't.
And what have they been the results of this? Like, what would be a Supreme Court case that you think maybe was influenced by it? Obviously, this is going to be speculation from us, but what were some examples of that, like, actually buying and a change for all of Americans?
Singer, I think his name's Paul Singer, was on the trip with Alito on the Alaskan fishing vacation thing, where, you know, they get wiggle around what little rules there are with, like, well, you're flying on his jet to this place and you're staying on his resort property.
Right.
But ultimately, Singer was on this. It was arranged by Leonard Leo. And eventually, Alito ruled on the case that it was this dispute in Argentina that went up to our Supreme Court. And it was Singer won. It was a $2 billion ruling. And so how much was he influenced? We'll never know. But the answer is Alito should have recused himself. He's buddies with these guys. He shouldn't be ruling on their cases.
Right.
And it feels like even Citizens United is an example of like, oh, no, we're going to rule to make sure that elites can contribute as much money into the political system as possible without
that was the big
accountability.
One, unlimited cash going into
it. It sounded like, you know, based on the images and everything, you guys went across the aisle to, you had Sotomayor and her book sales.
Took a few pokes at Sotomayor.
Not recusing herself. What was that exactly?
She'd gotten busted for, you know, she's written a couple children's books. She's written memoirs. And
children's books,
baby
judge, baby,
yeah, baby justice.
Yeah, baby justice. Is that what it's called?
No, I don't know what it's called. Okay.
Don't judge me, I'm a baby.
I can't remember,
I'm just a baby,
you know. But she had her staff, a taxpayer fund staff, calling up and strong arming universities and bookstores who were going to have Sotomayor speak that they had to buy a certain number of books. It was a little kind of mafioso style. Hey, you know, maybe something happens where she doesn't show up unless you guys have bought, you know, a certain number of books.
That's crazy.
You know, we're just across the board, we're of the opinion that there should be an enforceable code of ethics, or that they shouldn't be monetizing or self-aggrandizing off of their positions. And, you know, we had basically 5 where we had really good receipts on 5 out of the 9. And then in terms of the stuff that Todd was talking about, travel, accepting a lot of bullshit vacations, everybody but Brown, right? Everybody but...
Yeah, everybody but Jack, yeah.
Has a long list of, like, oh, great, I'd like to go to Indonesia.
And, okay, and we know that those things are not free. It's just obvious.
Right.
Someone is treating you this way over and over and over again, that when their opportunity comes to help that person out, they're going to expect it. And then with the Supreme Court, there's no higher court in the land to police them. So I guess they're self-policing and they're not doing a good job.
Yeah, I mean, a whole bunch of them have been paid to go to Iceland to teach classes. And it's like, why does... They have a different legal system. Why do they care about the American legal system? Right. And why teach there? Why not teach in America or something? It's just an I believe firmly it's just an excuse to give them something that they want, a vacation, go hang out over there and
sit in the hot springs, drink $18
beer. Yeah,
it's great. Iceland has to offer.
And I think it normalizes that kind of self-interest and so that it trickles down, you know, the fish rots from the head down. And you know, you guys saw what we were doing with the auction is that we had these judge models, but we were assigning them real identities of judges at various levels where we could talk about judges who were ruling on cases where they had stock, they held stock and were ruling out of self-interest, enriching themselves. And I think it sets the tone for like, oh no, look, I'm in this position, so I'm gonna you make something out of it. We picked six examples when we had our researcher come up with some examples of real judges. Like within 24 hours, he had like 60 examples, and we had to like dig through it just to find, for six.
So I guess the obvious next question is, when's Evil Pack going to get in the game of just buying these judges, paying them off? You know, like you guys just pay for a couple trips. You could get them to rule in favor of
not accepting further trips.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I like
you
this.
You see what I'm saying? Like, right. You just have to get them to the nicest places. Maybe it's North Carolina. Take them all to North Carolina. I don't know. But you I say that because you live in North Carolina. But you take them on nice trips and then be like, hey, guys, maybe we should have some ethics here. Let's have some ethics. Yeah. Stop with the trips.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, I think this is a good idea, and I think you should do it.
I agree. We take them, like, they can teach law in Gary, Indiana for a few days. I have a lovely vacation there.
Yeah, there's a great Holiday Inn Express there. We
I like
put
that,
them up
taking
in,
them
yeah.
on, like, really reasonable trips, like, normal yeah, stuff. See, like, was see this they, not pleasant?
Right.
Wasn't the Radisson nice?
Wasn't it pretty yes. nice? I know there was some construction going on. Yeah, and but the pool the, was good, the, but wasn't it pretty good
that breakfast buffet. I saw you at the breakfast buffet. I saw you did the waffle maker.
Right, you went back for a second. So now I want you to rule in my favor.
I think
reasonable trips. That's funny. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Offering them,
like regional road trips.
Right.
You know,
right.
stuff that's achievable.
A glorious weekend in Newark.
Yeah, yeah. Newark. Go to a state park. Have some fun. Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Nailed it.
But this was obviously focused on the judges here. Mm-hmm. What are some other? I don't want to say targets because people would be like, you
tentacles.
Said targets.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are some other areas of penetration
Evil Pack is looking to make? Yeah.
You know, so there's, you know, we just put up an article and it's, you realize also that the ridiculousness happens so fast that like, if we don't get stuff up, it kind of starts to become obsolete. We had just recently written a mock article about Elon Musk and Doge spending $200 million on an ad campaign to celebrate that they had cut $100 million worth of waste.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's, you know, it's just, it's stories like that. And
that's based on a true thing. Like the Kristi Noem, the defense and Homeland Security paid $200 million in advertising to promote what they were doing. And like, hey, look how great of a job we're doing on immigration. And meanwhile, they're like, hey, look, we saved $10 million by getting rid of like food stamp benefits in Milwaukee.
It's like Trump is so, was touting Doge and saving money and is also throwing himself this like military parade.
Right, exactly.
Birthday party to celebrate. Like the way I see it, he's in the hole big time. So.
I get that. Everybody deserves a birthday party.
It's a big one for him. What is it? 79?
79, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
he's
a
so young.
Nice round number. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's older than Biden now. He's like a spring chicken.
Folks, right. Listen. Folks.
Yeah.
I did that.
That was Biden's move in the debate.
I did that. We talk about this a lot, like just the future of the party, Democratic Party, and the kind of at a crossroads. Do you agree with us in thinking that the candidate for 2028 is Joe Biden?
Obviously.
The shambling corpse of Joe Biden.
Well, it's just, listen, what would 4 years of rest do for a guy like that? He's got the name recognition. I saw some funny tweet today that was like, if only Joe Biden were alive to see this. the feud that's unraveling right now. But yeah, we're pretty much in agreement on that. I think with a little bit of rest, he's going to start remembering people's names and walking to the right place.
And it helps. It helps us, I suppose, in a way that the Democratic Party is a mess too, and it allows us to make comedy. You know, we don't want to come off as hyperpartisan. I mean, obviously, we have opinions about sort of who's who's more or less egregious, but I do think that coming off hyperpartisan becomes this barrier to reaching an audience, and so we really are trying to say, well, the joke is it's the elite who are fucking over the rest of us, and you know, so yeah, I don't enjoy that the Democratic Party is a mess, but at least it gives us then the ability to you know, shoot some jokes their way too.
We had a sad little talk about that. We were talking about this recently with somebody, and it was like, man, why don't you guys talk to Trump supporters about how, like, you know, the billionaire class is really the ones pulling the strings, and they're getting these tax breaks, and it's not getting trickling down to anybody. And we tried to do that at one rally, and everyone was like, I like billionaires. They're the ones that give us jobs, and that's the money trickles down to us.
Right.
And there was just like, it's like, how do you break through? How do you break through? Obviously, those are the real Trumps.
You're right. It's just been trickling down. It's going to be another 40, 50 years.
40 or 50 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, and that's when Evil Pack is going to really hit its stride. Yeah. Really find an audience.
This is a nonpartisan way of looking at things. You guys want this to be something you could send to your uncle who you get in arguments with at Thanksgiving, and they'll laugh at that as well as liberals and other people.
I can't speak for the other folks on the team, but to me, this is the word Zach uses is postpartisan. It's good comedy fires in both directions, and there's no sacred cows on either side. Personally, I don't really like either party. I think at the moment the Republicans are more of the bad guys, and mostly because they have a lot more power at the moment. But it's not like the Democrats are always the good guys. They do crazy, silly things too. I mean, part of the reason they lose elections is because they do colossally stupid things, and we're going to ruthlessly make fun of them for those things as well. Why not? And it's both good for the comedy, but it's also strategic in that, like, we want to reach across barriers, and we want, in this ridiculously polarized political climate where people like go listen to Fox or they listen to CNN and they don't like to cross over, comedy is a way we can break through and deliver messages to people on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. And so that then gives us, we look for opportunities. Like, we were riffing on an article the other day about, like, you know, yeah, both parties reach across the aisle to pass a law that says Congress can engage in insider trading. And they were like, yeah, because that is something that gets done on both sides. So
that's nice. It's a nice thing if everyone can finally agree on.
We can all hold
hands. Yeah, we can all.
Yeah.
Very few things bring people together.
And Paul, like, a lot of people probably recognize you from your work with Broken Lizard and Super Troopers, Club Dread, Beer Fest. How is that work that you've done with Broken Lizard, how is that influencing what you're doing now with the Evil Pack, or what you've learned during that time?
Yeah, I mean, when Todd brought this opportunity to me, I felt like, okay, look, I've had a pretty long now career in comedy. I think I have a pretty good handle on writing jokes. But what, 10 years ago, I started working at an ad agency, working in marketing and learning about corporate communication and reputational content. And what actually was really cool is it sounded like an opportunity to blend these two things. You know, my biggest client when I worked in advertising was Walmart, and most of what I did was reputational management content. And when Todd described Mark Robinson and what we wanted to do in a funny way, was like, oh, this is reputation management, but it's reputation destruction. I'll take everything I learned in marketing about how you promote a brand and use all those things, and how you destroy a brand. So, you know, the comedy just felt like, okay, I think I'm funny enough and I'm good enough at writing to be able to contribute. It's actually the marketing stuff that I learned that actually has been the fun thing to apply.
So you said you were the guy telling him to go on those porn sites and say all the Nazi stuff?
Yeah, he fell for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you governor. You just have to listen to me. Do this.
Yes, I think we can legitimately claim to some responsibility for the decline of Mark Robinson, yet CNN really, you know, you can't compete with Black Nazi. Whereas Michelle Morrow, and you guys were the key to that, was a case where you had somebody who was, it was neck and neck, and it was going to come down to the wire, and Todd identified this dangerous, you know, supervisor of public schools candidate who was a homeschooling extremist who had advocated for public executions of Obama and Biden and Fauci.
And she'd done some bad stuff, too.
And then there's the bad stuff that she did. And said, hey, let's do that same thing. Let's find a funny way to shine a really bright spotlight on this person. And that's where you guys came in. And that's, to us, the example of how it's supposed to work is we did something really funny. We got it out, it got shared, it blew up, and she lost. And I think we did that. I'm just gonna say, I think we did that.
We did it. We did it.
We did it.
We did that. We're gonna take credit for Michelle Moore.
The fact that video. She couldn't find the way into her own event.
Not as glorious
interaction. I think showed more. The ineptitude and the disorganization. But it was incredible to have somebody running for, I think, the superintendent of public education, yep. mm-hmm. who homeschooled her own kids and didn't participate in the mm-hmm. system. And mm-hmm. her reason for doing that was saying, oh, the system's so broken. But she didn't. She doesn't have experience with it. She doesn't know.
She's grossly unqualified.
No, but that's how it works now is you pull this outsider card, and that's what allows the death of expertise is
right.
you turn this liability into an asset. I know nothing about how any of this shit works. Right. I'm the perfect candidate. Because I'm the outsider who's going to shake things up and drain the swamp. Right. And she just, I think, was a perfect example of what's going wrong. And I, like I said, we cut her off at the pass, and I'm very grateful.
I mean, she lost by half a percentage point. And your video had like 10 million views in a day, and I couldn't even tell you how many like politicians in North Carolina heard it. Like, that was what this is all about. It's good activism. It's comedy for good.
And she could have not opened herself up to that had she not called for the televised execution of Obama. So that was a mistake on her part, probably.
You know, and maybe she could have gotten away with the televised one, but she wanted to do it for profit, like a Running Man type thing.
That's where I agree with her. Like, I don't.
If you're gonna do it.
Look, I do not agree on hurting anybody, killing anyone, especially. But if you're going,
there's
going to
be a but. Yeah.
If you're going to do
right.
it,
the big butt.
You
got to
cash in.
Butt.
You got to cash in. That's what I mean. Professional wrestling, boxing, these big events. Live television is key. Everyone's streaming. You got to have live events. You need to have events. What bigger event than the televised execution?
Must see TV.
Political rival. Have any televised executions?
What we have is we talk about these characters, these eight tentacle operatives. Our education operative is a guy named Javi Himmler, an Argentinian by way of Europe, we suspect.
Oh, okay.
But who made his fortune in the prison system in South America doing televised blood sports.
That's how he fixed
the Argentinian prison system, and now he's come to America to apply those same principles to the American American public education system. So we suspect that what Javi's going to start advocating for our blood sport for elementary school children, pay-per-view.
May the strongest survive. How strong would American children be if they had to compete at such a young age?
We were talking the other night about how he's going to intentionally elongate all the graduation ceremonies. So instead of them being like 3 or 4 hours, if they're 6 or 7 hours, you can get multiple intermissions and sell a shitload of concessions.
Oh, that's right.
And the money's in the popcorn. Popcorn is that's how you fund these things.
I want to say it, guys. I was saying to do the pay-per-views for it, and I feel kind of foolish about that, about the televised executions on pay-per-view. I think it should be like a monthly payment.
Because there's always going to be another premium subscription.
Yes, a subscription.
People are going to forget that they signed up for it. Then they're going to get these executions. And if things keep going the way they're going, we might be having these soon, which is kind of exciting. You might see us on TV for those executions.
Oh, ringside, a couple of ringside. You guys are great ringside commentators for school children blood sport.
We could be commentating, but it will quickly end when the gallows go down or whatever. So the future of Evil Pack, what are the next steps? You have the website, evilpack.org. Have you given thought to any more events like the store that just opened in Soho, the Judges for Sale store? any other things you're kicking around that you want to talk about, or you can just be super vague and say, we've got some really big stuff planned, but we're keeping it a secret. If you want me to do PR for you right now.
I think the next thing we've talked about doing should be kept a secret, because I think it is going to be more of a public spectacle. We expect you guys to be involved, so circle your calendars for some point. But I think...
the whole fucking thing. But
I think coordinating and executing a big thing like what we did is a lot. And so I think in the immediate future, it's about populating the Evil Pack website and socials with as much good content as we can get.
Raising dark money.
Right.
Finding new ways to influence, penetrate, all those things. And then the next time you pop up, it's going to be... in probably a pretty big and pretty evil way, sounds like.
Quite literally, donating to Evil Pack is giving dark money for good.
Right.
Oh,
It is a dark money donation.
And that's the thing about it. It is a pack. You would accept donations, right?
We do.
In the same way that packs would be. It wouldn't be traceable, and you could donate it however you wanted to.
Evil Pack, I believe, is the only currently existing comedy super PAC, because it's actually owned by, like, it's owned and operated by Americans for Prosperity, which is a real super PAC.
Right.
So it's a real super PAC for good, advocating a fictional super PAC for evil.
I have a question for you all. If you guys consider doing, like, trying to do what PACs do and trapping some politicians in this, like having like a fundraiser that people are going to, or you're trying to get people to sign off on the shadiest shit possible, like dumping in a river or something like that, and you're really trying to, you're gonna it's like
trying
to
catch a predator, do the evil
but
thing.
with
right,
politics,
right. And when they walk in the ballroom in their tuxedo, it's you guys waiting for them.
So what are you doing here? Yeah. No, have a seat. Have a seat. I'm Chris Hansen. Hey, how are you? Anyway, that's another idea. That was a free one. That was a free one for you guys. There'll be multiple lawsuits, but you guys can handle it, I'm sure.
Right. It's a taste of things to come. But yeah, I think part of the logic behind Evil Pack was it allows us to do what we're enjoying in these sort of off election cycles. And then the idea is, get back into some of the stuff we did in North Carolina, whether it's next year, moving forward, that we have this kind of now evergreen comedy outlet, but that Americans for Prosperity will continue to do stunts, do mock campaigns when election cycles come around again.
And it'll be like, it's like an onion. It's like a real super PAC funding. It's layered like an onion.
It's a real super PAC
funding another PAC, a fake PAC that's a comedy PAC that no one can find out where the money is coming from and what's going to happen next and who they're influencing. And at the end of the day,
getting to have our cake and eat it too, right? I mean,
It's like ultimately right now we're working on making this, we're going to make this a sustainable model where we're putting out regular content each week in terms of articles and videos. And we've got some amazing new videos with the various characters from the Atenicals that are going to be rolling any day now. And then, the hope is, for your listeners out there, like, this is a way you can get engaged politically and get involved with this entertainment platform, which ultimately will go to building an audience and helping to fund real life comedy advertising, mocking anti-democratic monsters and corrupt fucks. And like, you can help take that. If you support this and follow this and share it, you are actually participating in democracy to help take down assholes.
And if people hate Evil Pack, would you consider opening an anti-Evil Pack that they can donate to that would try and take down Evil Pack?
Good Pack?
Again, something to think about. Good Pack.
Right.
Maybe even Great Pack.
Great Pack.
Yeah. Well,
yes or no, guys? Yeah. It's a tough question.
It's a question,
Goodness.
For anyone who hates Evil Pack, is there a place to get involved? Think about it.
Yeah. See, this is how we're getting that whole pro wrestling like characters and heels.
Well, Todd, Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you guys for joining the Americans for Prosperity team.
Before we get out of here, DeVrom, question for you. Any words of wisdom?
Absolutely.
You know, he prepared them. He prepared these like for like 4 weeks. Yeah. And every other episode, he's winning.
No, no, I have one.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Something to remember when it's summer, when there's no AC, put on your friend's pants and just sweat it out. And your friend's going to appreciate it. You're going to have a great time. You're going to realize your friend's a little thinner than you are. It's just going to bring you a lot closer. So when it's hot in New York City, find a friend.
Wear their pants. You're not sweating, Ron. You're glowing. So you're welcome. All right, that does it for the Good Liars Tell the Truth. We'll see you next time.